10 of the Gospel of Luke. And the end of the chapter. Towards the end of the chapter. Verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. This seems quite irrelevant to what we've just been hearing, and it is most interesting to be in the New Testament and see the Goliaths, David slaying Goliaths, and Joshua entering the land, conquering, meeting all opposition, resistance. God was fighting for them. And subsequently in the wars of David, well, we can follow it. It's easy to follow it. I dare say it's easy for us to take up arms and be in the slaughter than it is to be in the in what is the warfare of a Christian. One's reminded of Paul saying the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And of course they are not. They are not javelins. They are not slings and stones. But it is a warfare. The warfare is fierce in Christianity. Especially those who are purpose and take the scriptures seriously and place themselves in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It is, the conflict gets fiercer. I well remember seasoned brothers who have been ministering all their lives and saying that the conflict gets fiercer. That is, the exercise of coming to the prayer meeting, the exercise of coming to the Bible reading, the exercise of being for God in this world, the conflict gets fiercer. The power is on our side, but the very fact that there's power in our side is the way that the opposition is measured. And no one can go forward in this world for God and for Christ only in divine power. We come to the point in the end of the Old Testament in Malachi, and it appears they're finished with the wars. You don't hear of enemies routed and Goliath slain and so on. What we come to is an admittance of abject weakness on the part of man. They that feared the Lord, that brings them forward, gives them distinction. We cannot take up these javelins, but we can answer to that, fear the Lord. And spake often one to another, and it drew down the attention of heaven. The Lord hearkened and heard them. It would indicate that in those circumstances of abject weakness in which the remnant of Israel were at that time, routed themselves. God has allowed it. Read Jeremiah and Ezekiel. God allowed it. God was behind and with the enemy for the sacking of Jerusalem, for the destruction of the temple, for the scattering of that first nation in this world, who under the leadership of Joshua and previously by Moses, they had moved from Egypt to Canaan. The biggest failure of that nation was when they were in the land. It was in circumstances like that when things went on, it had to be said, there's no remedy. And when there was an enemy outside in Hezekiah's day, God was faithful to Hezekiah's prayer. And the enemy was not allowed to enter into Jerusalem. Rather, the 183,000 who assailed the city were slain in one night by God's angel. At a later date, when it was Zedekiah, Josiah and Zedekiah, the last one, before the captivity. And the prophet wasn't Isaiah, but it was Jeremiah, but nonetheless, God's prophet. Again, an enemy assailing. The word of the prophet was, get out of Jerusalem for salvation. Stay in for certain judgment. And the ways of God have to be known. We do have to know where we are when we read in the scriptures. And when we come to our day, it's not now God in government in a direct way as it was with Israel. Indicated with the ark. And the Lord of the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth. Remarkable thing that the sword put in the hand of Israel has been put in the hand of the Gentiles, but not the glory. The glory departed, but the glory was in that person who did come, the first chapter of John. So I read the 10th of Luke, and many may wonder whatever connection it can have with Joshua and Judges and Deuteronomy from the leadership of Moses and Joshua. Well, I believe it is this. The conflict takes on a different character. It's not now our possession, but one has learned that God gives us now not grace to gain, but he does give and ever will give us grace to lose. And I believe in our course through this world we shall lose everything. Everything we shall lose. Everything. Naturally, it is acquisition. And it's been quoted already, men will praise thee when thou doest well for thyself. We see in the leaders in Christianity, there were those who lost. The Lord Jesus lost everything here. Daniel reminds us, he shall go out with nothing. He had a right to everything when he came. And he could have taken possession of everything and left us out. But in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the course he took according to the will of God, he surrendered Israel. He surrendered everything. What was it for him to part with his mother? For every matter, he was sensitive about every matter, about that relationship. And his death was a complete severance from everything in nature, including Israel. But in the light of this, that he was to take up everything in resurrection, knowing that God would give him everything in resurrection. And this is where we come to in Christianity. We have to learn it. That everything is of value for God and for us is in resurrection where Christ is. Now, briefly, to refer to Mary. Long since have I thought on these lines that Mary represents the one of the greatest warriors in the whole of the Bible as one who concerns solely for God. And if we concern ourselves solely for God, we have to set ourselves on one side. It is at the expense of self, to the extent that we have set for God. God will not desert us, he will support us, and he will give us grace to lose. If he gives us grace to lose, he will give us grace to triumph. For all the triumph is on the side of resurrection. But the Lord commends her. It is in these circumstances Mary has chosen that good part. What was her part? Did she look like an aggressor? Did she look like one who could take a city and take possession of the world and put Israel back in a place? It represents an attitude of perfect submission. But submission to one who was there, who himself was subject to the will of God. Mary, it is said, sat at the feet of Jesus. This is to be in a world like this, to be undistracted. Business advantages, bargains in the shops. The advantage that one may have over another by being first. Mary virtually says, you can have the lot. You can have the lot. You can have the whole world. Take advantage, and I'll take what you leave me. She sits at the feet of Jesus, completely relaxed, satisfied, and what is she doing? It isn't even busy activity. It is a communication going in at the ear. And if we do not get a communication from God for us to receive, we cannot respond intelligently. Neither can we receive the blessings. And so, as James says, swift to hear, slow to speak. Mary represents the one that becomes, indeed it is Jesus who actually, he says, Mary hath chosen. And again when we say, she was not directed to be there by Jesus, sit at my feet, Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. And what was it for? To listen, and not to miss it. To listen to his word. And I venture to say that we cannot take that attitude and have the world in our hearts. And we cannot have self-advance as a prominent thing. It means a complete surrender of everything we might naturally claim and take the place of subjection and learn everything from the one who brings to us the greatest message of all, surpassing all that we have in the Old Testament, in that he is the one who brings the revelation of God to us. I believe it would indicate that. For Jesus is the one who brought that revelation here in this world. And Mary indicates what is our true attitude to learn and to be skillful in whatever else we miss in this world. A personal advantage to attach first importance to getting divine communication and from its source and from the one who alone could bring it to us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I just refer to this in this way that the great feats that have been done in the Old Testament, we cannot compete with them. We see the place they had when God was governing this world. But now, in Christianity, we represent God now not in government, but we represent him in grace. And we can only fully, rightly represent him in grace as being in the attitude of Mary, who will set everything aside and give first place to a divine communication from the one who brings it for the commendation of the Lord and for the profit that it affords. Others have spoken on this and connected with the next chapter, chapter 11, that if we have an ear and the attitude of Mary, we also have in chapter 11 the reverse, in that having listened to divine communications which would give us intelligence as to the will of God, in the chapter 11 we have an outlet in prayer where we can express our confidence in God and be assured of his support in our course through his word.